Children, you are dismissed for children's church. I'll confess, I hate that song. Makes me emotional. I don't like things that make you emotional. And I'm just kidding, I love that song. And such a powerful song, such a powerful truth. Isn't it great to see all them kids go out? I love that. We're going to be in several different places this morning. As Brother Tim had alluded to, thank you for all those that came out for Workday and really did get a lot accomplished. And so thank you for all those that came. I'm so glad that Scott and Troy and Danny got on the roof. Otherwise, it was going to be me, Scott Gordy, and Henrietta Crosby. Can you imagine? That'd have been great. I can't even see to get up there. And they went up the ladder and they were blowing and sweeping and got that all done. That's one of the big things that we need to get done on the workday. And then another one is pressure washing. And a lot of people brought pressure washers and got a lot of stuff done inside as well. And so thank you for all those that took part in helping with that. And I know some of you even came. You weren't feeling good, but you still came and got a lot done. So thank you for that. We will be having another one. We're gonna try to have a couple a year, just so that we can keep up and maintain some of our properties. That'll be a huge help. So last week we talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so we talked about acknowledging God, the importance of acknowledging God. And so I love how Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 starts out. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And you have to trust in something. And by the way, we all trust in something. Whether we're trusting in ourselves or trusting in people or trusting in the government or trusting in the church, or we're all trusting in something. But understand this, the only way to have hope is to trust in the Lord. Okay, you have to direct your trust. You have to direct your faith. You have to direct your path, your belief in the right direction, in the right path. And so you can trust yourself, but I can guarantee you yourself is going to fail you. You can trust people. And I'm not saying it's wrong to trust people, but I'm just telling you, people will fail you. Most of us have been around long enough to know these things, right? You can trust in God. Listen, you can have no brain and trust in the government all you want to, but I promise you the government will fail you. The world will fail you. Can I tell you this? As kindly as I can say, you can trust in the church, but I promise you the church is going to fail you. You know, sometimes we have these ideas that we're going to come in and the church is going to be perfect. The church is going to be... Have you ever lived somewhere else? Now, some of you have been in Effingham County longer than I've been alive. I'm just saying. But some of you have moved from other places. And if you've moved from other places and you were faithful in a church in another state or another town or another whatever, and you come to here or anywhere that you move to, and you start looking for a church, and you really loved your church, you loved your pastor, and you loved the people, and you loved the music, and you loved, and you loved, and you loved, and so what are you looking for? That church. You're looking for that church in a different place. And how many of us know it's almost impossible to find? It just is, because we're all made up differently, right? We're all made up differently. I remember when I was in the military, I was just newly saved, and I went to Bible Baptist Church in Pascagoula, Mississippi. It's where I was stationed in the Navy, and about four of our ships were there, and I think the base is closed now. I don't even think it's a military base anymore, but we were stationed there, and I just got saved, and I said, how do I find a church? And by the way, this was before everybody had a cell phone and all this other stuff. So they told me, you remember those things called phone books? Some of y'all might not even know what I'm talking about, but you know those phone books. Wendy says to me, I was talking to Wendy, Wendy's best friend, my cousin Hazel, and I said, how do I find a church? They said, get out the yellow pages. Look up Baptist and start with the letter A. And just go down and go to the churches until you find one that you like. Well, Pascagoula, if you've ever been there, not real big, right? It's a small town. And so there was no A. There was no Baptist church that started with the letter A. So the very first church was B, Bible Baptist Church. And so at the time, I rode my bike. I didn't have a vehicle, and I get on my bike and ride across that humongous causeway. It was a huge causeway to get to the port and to get to the base. And I rode it all the way, to Bible Baptist Church. First day. I mean, the first time I ever met them. I mean, they invited me over to their house. I mean, we played volleyball. They had a group of people that was about my age. Small church. But man, they just loved the Lord. Took me in as family. Matter of fact, I only went to church one time before we ended up having to go underway. We went underway. We were out for I don't know how long, about a month or so. When we came back into town, when we came back into port, the family, one of the families from Bible Baptist Church, was out there on the pier holding up a sign saying, "Welcome home, Joe." I said, let me tell you something. I like these people. Yeah, it's where the squirrel went berserk, right? But I love these people. And they just became family to me. Many of you met them. They sang here for my 10th anniversary. And they came, the Doherty family. They're from that church. And Brother Wright. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something about Brother Wright. He was an old school preacher. Matter of fact, in his younger years, he would go out, he would leave on a Monday morning, he'd go and he'd preach a week's worth of meetings, come back on Saturday, preach all day in the church on Sunday, get back on a plane or back in the car and travel to the next church. And I'm telling you, he's the first one. I told him, I made a mistake. I said, Brother, I think God might be calling me to preach. And he said, well, that's great. He said, I'll be praying for you. And I say it was a mistake because the very next time I went to church, we always go in this, like a room in the back of the church. And we'd go in there, all the men would, and they'd stand around. And it was a small church, but we'd stand around and he'd give a few announcements and then we'd all have prayer. We were standing in there and I was going to Trinity at the time, and I was still coming back to Pascagoula from time to time, and we were standing there, and he said, we're having this today, we're doing this today, and pray for Brother Joe because he's going to be preaching this morning. So there was probably 10 guys in there, and I'm going, his name's not Joe, his name's not Joe, and went all the way down. None of them's name was Joe except for me. And I thought to myself, oh boy. And so we went out of there. I said, Brother, you want me to preach? He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. I said, just. Psh. I'd never been to that church, ever been to that church again without having at least 3 sermons in my Bible. Because he's one of the first ones to give me a chance. He loved young preacher boys, and he invested his life in young preachers. And boy, I tell you right now, you know what? I've never found another church like it. I found some people that were like some of the people that were in that church. I've never found another preacher like him. The way they sang, never found another group like them. I've never run across a group like the Dohertys again. Never have. So you know what I've determined? I've determined no matter where I'm at, enjoy what God is giving me in that moment. And trust. Stop trusting in everything else. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the world and start trusting in God. Do you know where it starts? It starts by knowing that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. That's where trust starts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I'm not talking about, well, yeah, preacher, I grew up in church. Do you know how many times I hear that? I've been going to Sunday school since I was, 9 months in my mama's belly. Great. I'm glad you go to church. Well, let me tell you something, preacher. Every single week I give in the offering. Let me tell you something. Going to church and giving an offering does not save you. You could be baptized. You could be baptized by every church in Effingham County. It's not going to get you to heaven. There's only one way, right? Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. We just celebrated Easter not too long ago. What is Easter all about? Easter's all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you realized in the world we're living in today, we're getting away from things? We're redefining things? We're calling these, the church is becoming more like the world instead of vice versa. We've got social clubs more than we've got churches anymore. We got places of entertainment more than we have churches anymore. You go in many churches today, and I'm not trying to be critical, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. We go into churches today, and boy, you've got programs, and you've got skits, and you've got music, and you've got all this entertainment, and then if you're lucky, the preacher will get up for a couple minutes and say a few words. He'll say a few words of love, say a few words of patting you on the back and patting you on the head and tell you everything's going to be okay, and that's church. That's where we've gone to in our church today. Why? Because we've gotten away from the principles of the Word of God. What should we be preaching? We should be preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every time we preach, Jesus Christ ought to be mentioned. It's amazing to me how many sermons I've heard where Jesus is never mentioned. We mention God. We love to mention God, don't we? Do you understand, preacher? I trust in God. I trust in the Father. Here's the problem. You can't get to the Father without going through the Son. You take Jesus out of the equation, you have no equation. You have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. So where's the trust begin? The trust begins in the Son. The trust begins in Jesus. Do you have a relationship? Let me tell you something. It's monumentally important. You know how important it is? It's important because eternity is at stake. I don't know how old you are, and I don't know how old you're going to live. But if you live to be 100, it's pretty safe to say you can even call a woman old if she's 100. You're pretty safe, right? 100 years old, I mean, not many people make it to 100 or past 100. 100 years is a long time. So at some point, I don't know where it is, at some point, women, they're 36 and they're 36 for, 20 years. But at some point, they are starting to be proud of how old they are. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I made it to this age, or I made it to this age. And you're 100 years old, and man, I mean, you're waving a flag saying you're 100 years old, right? Do you know, compared to eternity, that's a twinkle of an eye. You think 100 years is a long time, but compared to eternity, it's nothing. Compared to eternity, it's a blip. I always think this. I always think to myself, you know, we have loved ones that pass away and they go on before us, right? And they're in heaven. And we're here for however long we're here. Say we're here another 30 years. And then we die and we get to heaven and we think to ourselves, good night, that was a long time. And they're like, you're here already? Just seemed like I was here yesterday. I just got here yesterday. Believe that. Why? Because time's not the same here as it is in heaven. Do you realize that? Things are different here than they are in heaven. And eternity, how long is eternity? It's forever. And I want you to know, when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's talking about life with God forever. Okay? But I want you to know something. Whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ or not, you are living forever. You're going somewhere forever. The Bible does not teach reincarnation. The Bible does not teach annihilation. The Bible says that when we're absent from this body, we will be present in one of two places, heaven or hell. And we don't want to talk about it. We don't like to talk about it. Matter of fact, we don't like to go to funerals, right? We don't like to. Why? Because it makes you think about eternity. It makes you think about how the brevity of life makes you think about James. And when James says, what is your life? It's but a vapor. It's here for a little time and it vanisheth away. It's gone. And what you do with Jesus is going to determine where you spend eternity. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's not about your works. It's not about what you've done or what you've accomplished. You're not going to stand before God one day and he's going to weigh and balance your works. And if your works outweigh your bad, then you go to heaven. Good night. Aren't you glad that's not true? For some of us who didn't get saved until later in life, we got a lot of bad. I mean, a lot of bad. And how much good do we have to do to outweigh the bad? I'm glad it's not on a scale. I'm glad it's all about Jesus Christ and what you've done with Christ. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then once we trust the Lord and we're saved and we have that relationship, we need to constantly and continuously acknowledge the Lord in our lives. And so what is the results? That's what I want to talk about this morning. What are the results of acknowledging God in our lives? The end result, I want you to understand this, according to the Word of God, the end result is for you to be balanced, complete, and mature. That's what God wants for your life. He wants you to be like His Son, Jesus. We are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? And so what does God want us to be? He wants us to be balanced, complete, and mature. So if you see at the end of Proverbs 3 and 6, the Bible says, He shall direct thy paths. Some versions say, He'll make your path straight. I always thought to myself, no. He doesn't make our path straight. I don't know about you, but my path's been awfully crooked. I mean, there's winding roads, and there's ups, and there's downs, and there's mountains, and there's valleys, and it's not straight. And then I started doing an etymology of that Hebrew word. Matter of fact, that Hebrew word literally means straight. Now I thought to myself, holy smokes, I've been wrong this whole time. I don't like to be wrong, especially when I'm preaching. So I said, I'm going to do a little bit more study. It doesn't mean straight like you think it means straight. When I think of straight, I think of a straight line, right? I think of going from here to there and walking straight. There's no bumps, there's no curves, there's no nothing in my way, just a straight shot. That's not what it means. It means straight like a level. Like balanced. Like complete, like mature. God's desire for your life is for you to be complete. Complete in Christ. Mature in your faith. Balanced in what you believe. Do you know God, obviously, Jesus, is our ultimate example. He's our ultimate example. He's the one that we should desire to be like. He's the one that we should desire to mold our life after. And there was nobody that lived on the face of this earth, and there never will be anybody that lives on the face of this earth that was more balanced than Jesus Christ. So when it says, make your path straight, now I still wouldn't use that word because of how we think of the word straight. I would still say it will direct your path because he wants you to be. Have you ever been on the wrong path? You ever been in the, anybody like to go in the woods? Like to go camping? Like to go hiking? Well, I tell you, it's a blast to go hike. Now, my camping is the Hampton Inn. That's as rough as this boy gets, okay? I'm not much on the camping side, but I do like to hike. I like to be in the outdoors, and I like to go outside. But I tell you, I learned from really pretty young. I lived way out in the woods, out in the middle of nowhere. I always thought, as a matter of fact, I was probably just about an adult before I found out that we didn't own all the land. I mean, that was around us. And so our nearest neighbor was like, you know, you had to drive to get to the nearest neighbor. And I thought, all this land must belong to us. I mean, I didn't know that. And so we there was no trespassing and all that other nonsense and that there is today. And we just traveled all over the place. But I found out quick from a very young kid that if there's a path, you might want to stay on it. Do you know what a path is? You know why there's a path there? Because somebody forged a way already. And if you decide you're going to forge your own way, you better know where you're going. Because it's easy to get lost. It's easy to go in the wrong direction. You ever been driving? Some of you are really good with directions. My wife, good with directions. She don't need GPS. She doesn't need. All she's got to do is be in a place one time, and she's got the place figured out. It drives me insane. She'll say, "Oh yeah, we've been here before. Go left up here," but it's never the road. She says, "There's a great big boulder up here on the left, right before the pink house that has the blue door. We've been here one time 15 years ago." She says, "Turn left there." I said, "Knock it off." She said, "I'm telling you, turn left there." What happens if the boulder moved? What happens if they painted the house? But they didn't. It's there. Turn left. There's the store we're looking for. Boom. Every time. Me? No. You can tell me how to get somewhere, and I promise you, I will get lost every time. GPS, greatest invention ever. I mean, I follow it to a T. Wendy will argue with the GPS. Don't listen to her. My GPS is a woman. She says, "Don't listen to her. Just go straight." But she said to turn right. "Just go straight." I said, "Babe, if we don't turn right, if we go straight, we're going to end up getting lost. This road parallels with this road, blah, blah, blah." Trust me, I listened to the live person, not the recorded person. And so we go straight, and sure enough, boom, there it is. But you ever been lost? You ever end up, my father-in-law, I love him, but he loves to take shortcuts. His shortcuts, always two things. One, take longer. And two, end up taking you through the worst neighborhood in that city. I'm talking about roll your windows up, lock your doors, and don't stop at the stop sign neighborhoods. People looking at you going, yeah, you took a wrong turn. What are you doing in my neighborhood? I'm like, Dad, seriously, why are we going through? It's kind of like you slow to a stop and you don't stop. You'd rather get a ticket than actually stop at the stop sign. You just get out of the neighborhood as fast as you can. It's easy to get lost. Let me tell you something, spiritually, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to lose your way. It's easy to get unbalanced in your life. And God wants us to be end game. What does God want? He wants us to be complete. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to be balanced in our lives. We can get there if we'll follow the GPS, right? We can get there. We can be what God needs us to be and what God desires us to be through three things. Number one, through guidance. Through guidance. Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse number 3. Listen to this. Psalm 31, verse number 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally, breath not, shall be given to him. We lack wisdom. And we need direction. We need guidance in our lives. Because throughout life, there are forks in the road. Throughout life, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. We're trying to eradicate that in our world. Have you noticed that? We're trying to eradicate moral absolutes. We're trying to eradicate right and wrong. Just do what makes you feel good. Just do what you think you should do and it's right for you. Just because it's right for you doesn't mean it's right for me. See what we've done? We've said, we come to a fork and we've said, no, there's no wrong way. Listen to me. There's a wrong way and there's a right way. We've even done that. Listen, we've even done that in sports. Listen to me. When I was a kid, there was no participation award. You kidding me? If you came in second place, you're the loser. Your coach told you that you were the loser. I mean, kids back in my day, back in some of y'all's day, kids wouldn't have never made it. I mean, we get our feelings hurt over every little tiny thing. So guess what? Everybody's a winner. We were down in, this has been years ago, kids were little. We were at Disney. We went to the Polynesian has a restaurant and it's all, you know, Polynesian based and they have this, it's like a dinner and a show kind of thing. And so we're sitting there eating and this lady, she was a trip. I mean, she was funny. And they tried to get the kids involved and she kept saying, everybody's a winner. And every time she'd say it, I'd look at the kids and I'd say, that's not true. And then she'd say, everybody's a winner. And I'd say, that's not true. And Wendy's like, babe, seriously. So it kept getting louder and louder and louder. I said, listen, the woman's not telling you the truth. Everybody's not a winner. Sometimes there's winners, sometimes there's losers. Sometimes you go the right way, sometimes you go the wrong way. If you go the wrong way, understand there are consequences to those wrong ways. It's unbelievable. We think we can live the way we want to live and get mad at God when we're not blessed. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault you chose to go the wrong way. It's not God's fault that you chose to be unbalanced in your life. It's not God's fault that He told you to go right and you went left. It's not God's fault He said to stop and you kept moving. It's not God's fault that you stopped and He said to keep moving. We make decisions, right? Then we have to live with the consequences of those decisions. So stop blaming God for your poor decisions. You have to live with them. God says it's right, it's right. By the way, you don't need to vote on it. Your vote doesn't count if God says something's right. Well, I don't believe that. It don't matter if you believe it or not. God says it's right, it's right. And by the way, if God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. And I don't care if the entire world votes the opposite. God trumps the whole world. Right? Because God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. We need to make sure that we are going in the right direction, going the right way, and being guided by the Spirit, being guided by the Word of God. Guidance. Number two, grace. Grace. Let me tell you what you need in your life. Every single day you need grace. Grace. You know, real easy acrostic for the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. I need God's riches in my life. Not only His guidance, I need His blessings in my life. Do you know that you can be the richest person in the world and be miserable? Probably some of the most miserable people in the world are rich people. They got all this money and they have no hope. But you realize that you can be the poorest person in the world and have all the joy that God can bring? Because let me tell you something, money can't bring joy. Material things can't bring joy. How many of us can attest to it? How many of us can attest to we saved and we wanted this one thing and we finally get it and boy, we're so happy that we get it and, well, we got it. Got that new house, got that new car, we got that new whatever. Boy, now that we got that new thing, you know what we're looking for? The next new thing. And then the next new thing. Because let me tell you something, when it comes to materialism, there's always a new thing. There's always something better. Let me give you an example of it. Stupid cell phones. I hate them. I mean, I absolutely despise them. Do you realize, right, once upon a time, we lived without them. Some of these young people, they don't believe you. They're just like, no. I'm like, yeah, for real. I mean, I thought I was something. I mean, I thought I was something. When Wendy got pregnant with Kyle, and I carried a baby beeper. Beeper. Now, I couldn't use it only if she went into labor, then it would go off and it would be like a 911 thing. And you know how the beeper worked, right? And then you had to go to a phone and you had to call. Blows the kid's mind. It's like, well, do what? But let me tell you something. You go out and buy a new cell phone. Do you know how much some things cost? Holy smokes. The only time I ever get a new cell phone, the only time, buy one, get one free. And then somebody else's cost that much, mine was free. I only paid taxes on mine. Because you know why? It ain't long. And they come out with the next one. And then they come out with the next one. But this one's got a better camera. This one's got more memory. But this one can do wonders and blunders and eat rotten cucumbers. I mean, it ain't no tell. It won't be long before our phones are living for us. But you got to get that next one. And just about, did you get this? just about the time you got the phone paid off, it's a piece of junk. Stops working, drops calls. It's not good. And you call them about it, and they're going to tell you, oh, you just need to upgrade. Yeah, I bet we do. Do you know how long the first time I got a flip phone? You remember the flip phones? I kept that. I mean, they had the iPhone forever. I still had the flip phone. I mean, I didn't want to get... I actually had a flip phone that you had to be careful because it was holding on just by a wire. You had to hold it like this, and I fought against getting that iPhone. I fought and fought, and now you got to get one every couple of years. I mean, materialism, listen to me, materialism will never satisfy, never. What do we need? We need grace. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, you know what God said to Paul? Paul said, God, can you take this thorn in the flesh from me? Have you ever prayed and asked God to take something from you? I tell you, here recently, 2023, 2024, been rough for a lot of people. And here recently, you know what I've prayed? I'm just being honest with you and just being as real as I can with you. You know what I've prayed? Lord, just take away one thing. Just one. Got so many things going on. Lord, just restore this. Lord, just do this. Lord, I swear to you, I promise, every time I pray that, it's like one more thing gets added. And I don't think God's sadistic. I don't think God's mean. But I think this. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. You know what God told Paul? Listen, Paul. He asked, God said no. He asked, God said no. He asked, God said no. Thrice. Three times he asked for God to take that thorn of the flesh away. Three times God said no, but he said this, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen to me, Paul. I'm what you need. Listen to me, Paul. I'm enough. Do you understand that God is enough for you? God's grace is more than enough for you. Aren't you glad it's sufficient? Let me tell you something. If God's grace wasn't sufficient, if God's grace was used up on a person, you're out of luck because he used it all on me. I tell you, God, when God saved me, if it was not a never-ending supply, then nobody else would have hope. Because it took a lot of grace to save me. But I want you to know something. God's grace is sufficient. And you need it every day. Whether you're facing something physical, whether you're facing something emotional, maybe it's relational, whatever it might be, whatever you're going through right now, understand this. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Your own understanding will fail you. It'll make you stumble. It'll discourage you. Stop leaning your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and His grace is sufficient. We need His guidance. We need His grace. We need those things in our lives. Let me finish with this. Not only do we need His guidance and grace, but we need His goodness. We need His goodness. You remember Psalm 23? Anybody ever heard that psalm before, Psalm 23? It's as popular as John 3:16, right? I mean, it's the Old Testament popularity to John 3:16. And at the end of Psalm 23, there in verse number 6, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me tell you something. We need the goodness of God. You know, we say this all the time. God is good, and He's good all the time, right? All the time, God is good. When everything's going great, I told Wendy last night, we have this ongoing thing. How did you do in the night? How'd you sleep? I sleep terribly. I just absolutely terribly. I don't require a lot of sleep, but no sleep stinks, right? And so I went to bed, golly, like 11:15. Unless I'm sick, I don't go to bed at 11:15. That's way too early. But I went to bed at 11:15. I was kind of tired. I said, well, I'm going to try to fall asleep. And I didn't wake up until 4:15. Man, I about got out of the chair. I about danced a jig. I ain't slept that long in forever. I was like, man, God is good. He let me sleep. But let me tell you something. The nights I don't get hardly any sleep, God hasn't changed. You understand? God's still good. The times that I struggle in my body, God is still good. The times when things feel great, God is good. You see, we recognize how good God is when things look good in our life. It's kind of like when I got the shot in both of my eyes. It was pretty funny because I got a shot in this eye and I got a shot in this eye. Well, this is my bad eye. And when you look at this eye, you think, well, ain't nothing wrong with that eye. But this eye's full of blood in the back. So I can't see out of this eye. I can't see hardly anything out of this eye. But you can look at it and it looks fine. Well, when he put a shot in this eye, this is my good eye. But he hit a vessel in this eye, so it filled with blood. It's like a bruise, really. And people go, oh my goodness, your eye looks terrible. No, that's my good eye. I couldn't see that blood because it was on the outside. I see this blood because it's on the inside. This is the bad eye. This is the good eye. You know, sometimes things look bad, but we forget how good God is. We forget what he's done. We forget where he's brought us. We forget where he's bringing us. As bad as it gets, you ever thought about this? Think about this just for a second. If you're a born-again child of God, if you're a believer, as bad as it gets down here is as bad as it gets. This is it. You realize as a believer, you never have to spend one moment in hell? Jesus Christ paved the way so that you would not have to go to hell. And this is as bad as it gets. When I pass from this life, whenever that day may be, I may be absent from this body, but praise God, I'll be present with the Lord. And do you know what the Bible says about that? And so shall I ever be with the Lord. Let me tell you something, church. It don't get no better than that. That's as good as it gets. That's world can't bring that. Yourself, you can't bring that. The only one that can bring that is the goodness of God in our life. And sometimes, you ever get down? You ever get defeated? You ever get... my wife's family always called it the mully grubs. I was like, the mully what? The mully grubs. You ever get the mully grubs? You ever get the woe is me? Why has this got to happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? Why has it got to be? It's never one thing. It's another, and then it's another, and then it's another. I was telling you about the car we had it down in a shop in Florida, and the guy would call me. Every time the guy called me, it was $500. You know, most of you have been there. Last time he called me, I said, listen, Bubba, don't call me again. Because I'm not answering the phone again. That's it. It's the last thing we're getting fixed on this vehicle. Don't call me again. And we kind of laughed about it. He's just a great guy, good Christian man. And we just kind of laughed about it because isn't that how it feels like sometimes? It feels like an avalanche. And man, you want to kick a rock and you want to punch a wall and you want to be upset. And you know what happens? We forget the goodness of God. Because one bad thing happens, or two, or three, or four, or five, we forget all the good things that God has done. Don't forget. Keep in remembrance You know what acknowledging does? It keeps in remembrance. Acknowledging the Lord. I'm not acknowledging my sickness. I'm not acknowledging my material things. I'm not acknowledging the world. I just found out not too long ago this preacher had an accident at their church, and there was a fire. Burnt the church down, burnt his office down. All his Bibles. He collects Bibles like I do, and all his Bibles were burnt to the ground. All his books burnt to the ground. And I think to myself, oh my goodness. I mean, I can't even imagine. And he started feeling a little bad about it, and then all of a sudden, from all over the country, people started sending him Bibles. Now, I'm not talking about Walmart Bibles, okay? I know that's still a Bible. I'm talking about R.L. Allen and Cambridge and Schuyler and all these $200, $250 Bibles. Or send him, he sent a picture of a stack of Bibles that people had sent him. You know what he started talking about? He stopped talking about the fire, and he started talking about the goodness of God. Let me tell you what God has done. Yeah, I'm facing this. Yeah, I'm going through this. Yeah, I'm in a valley. But let me tell you what God has done. Yeah, sometimes I get down. Sometimes I get defeated. Sometimes I even get depressed. But let me tell you what God has done and what God is doing in my life. When we acknowledge God, I'm not saying things go away. Because we face problems. Problems don't go away, folks. And if a problem goes away, guess what? I'm not trying to burst your bubble, but just look around the corner because another one's coming. And we're going to face them and continue to face them as long as we live in this world. So get your eyes off your problems and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are